3. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Our help is in the name of the Lord,
who made heaven and earth.
If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand?
But with you there is forgiveness, therefore you are feared.
Since we are gathered to hear God's word, call upon him in prayer and praise, and receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ in the fellowship of this altar. Let us first confess our unworthiness and confess before God and one another that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together as his people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God, our Heavenly Father, seeking his grace for the sake of Christ, and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner.
Almighty God, have mercy upon us, forgive us our sins, and lead us to everlasting life. Amen.
Almighty God, merciful Father, in holy baptism you declared us to be your children and gathered us into your one holy church, in which you daily and richly forgive us our sins and grant us life, through your Spirit. Be in our midst, enliven our faith, and graciously receive our prayer and praise through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen. Amen.
Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sin. As a called, ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Take the insert for the third Sunday after the Epiphany and chant the insert.
You will arise and have pity on Zion. It is the time to favor her. The appointed time has come.
Let this be recorded for a generation to come, so that a people yet to be created may praise the Lord. That he looked down from his holy height. From heaven the Lord looked at the earth.
To all the earth.
Almighty and everlasting God, mercifully look upon our infirmities, and stretch forth the hand of your majesty to heal and defend us. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
You may be seated. The Old Testament reading for the third Sunday after the Epiphany is from Nehemiah chapter 8. All the people gathered as one man into the square before the water gate, and they told Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses that the Lord had commanded Israel. So Ezra, the priest, brought the law before the assembly, both men and women, and all who could understand what they heard, on the first day of the seventh month. And he read from it, facing the square before the water gate, from early morning until midday, in the presence of the men and the women, and those who could understand. And the ears of all the people were attentive to the book of the law. And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was above all the people. And as he opened it, all the people stood. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, Amen, Amen, lifting up their hands. And they bowed their heads and worshipped the Lord with their faces to the ground. They read from the book, from the law of God clearly. And they gave the sense, so that the people understood the reading. And Nehemiah, who was the governor, and Ezra the priest and scribe, and the Levites who taught the people, said to all the people, This day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep. For all the people wept as they heard the words of the law. Then he said to them, Go your way. Eat the fat and drink sweet wine, and send portions to anyone who has nothing ready. For this day is holy to our Lord. And do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We chant Psalm 19, verses 1 through 8, responsively by whole verse.
Declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims his handiwork. There is no speech, nor are there words, whose voice is not heard.
Glory be to the Father and to the Son.
For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one Spirit. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, "Because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body," that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, "Because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body," that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members of the body, each one of them, as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, "I have no need of you," nor again the head to the feet, "I have no need of you." On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And on those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the greater honor. And our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty, which our more presentable parts do not require. But God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Now you are the body of Christ, and individually members of it. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, helping, administrating, and various kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all possess gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But earnestly desire the higher gifts. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We stand for the Alleluia and verse.
Synagogue on the Sabbath day, and he stood up to read. And the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And he rolled up the scroll and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." And all spoke well of him and marveled at the gracious words that were coming from his mouth. And they said, "Is not this Joseph's son?" And he said to them, Doubtless you will quote to me this proverb, Physician, heal yourself. What we have heard you did at Capernaum, do here in your own hometown as well. And he said, Truly I say to you, no prophet is acceptable in his hometown. But in truth I tell you, there were many widows in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the heavens were shut up for 3 years and 6 months, and a great famine came over all the land. And Elijah was sent to none of them, but only to Zarephath in the land of Sidon, to a woman who was a widow. And there were many lepers in Israel in the time of the prophet Elisha, and none of them were cleansed, but only Naaman the Syrian. When they heard these things, all in the synagogue were filled with wrath. They rose up and drove him out of the town and brought him to the brow of the hill on which their town was built, so that he could throw him down the cliff. But passing through their midst, he went away. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
We confess together the Nicene Creed, page 206.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten as Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
You may be seated for the hymn of the day, hymn page 39.
the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be from God our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear Christian friends, during this Epiphany season, today, Jesus proclaims good news and fulfills all Scripture. We need good news. Good news from heaven. Every day, our lives are filled with bad news, whether on our own lives or in society around us. It can get you down. It can cause you to become cynical. Because the good news of the world always is here today and is gone tomorrow. Jesus gives us the good news from heaven. The word gospel literally means good news. This is the good news, the heavenly good news. You and I have forgiveness of all our sins. We have life and everlasting salvation. Is there any better good news than that? You have life now and life into eternity. This is why you come here, because you come here to hear the good news of the gospel of Christ. And that is why the scriptures, the hymns, and the liturgy convey all of that to us. Jesus in this text does proclaim good news. Jesus also fulfills all scripture. Scripture is the Bible, the Old Testament, the prophets, the New Testament, the apostles. From 1400 BC, beginning with Genesis, all the way to John in 90 AD, the inspired, inerrant Word of God, without error, reliable, as it brings God's literal Word to us and focuses on Jesus, also the Word made flesh. So my friends, the gracious words from Jesus' lips are good news about life. And on this annual Life Sunday, we rejoice that we have physical life for our bodies, spiritual life for our souls, and eternal life in paradise. We rejoice in the Lord and in life. So as we look at this very dramatic text from Nazareth today, let's look at three aspects of this text in Luke 4. First, let us look at the words of Jesus as true man in human flesh as a part of a carpenter's family in the town of Nazareth. Then, let us consider the amazing teaching of Jesus as true God, who has the Spirit of the Father upon him. And then lastly, let us consider Jesus' message of authority that brings truth in a world of lies. Let us begin. The words of Jesus, true man, in human flesh. This text, as you look at it, has so much drama in this event. Jesus is in the little town of Nazareth where he'd been brought up. It's a town up to the west of the Sea of Galilee. Jesus had been born in Bethlehem, but he was raised in this town of Nazareth up north. He was in his hometown, and his custom was with his family. Every Saturday Sabbath, they went to the synagogue. The synagogue is a building very much like this, a gathering place where people gather around God's word and prayer. He was now 30 years old, considered a fully mature adult, and would be allowed to read the scripture during the service. So the reader would stand up. So Jesus stands up while everyone else is seated. They would keep the scrolls of the Old Testament in a recess in the walls of the synagogue. So he was brought out the scroll of the prophet Isaiah. It wasn't like a book that we have, but a scroll. And he rolls the scroll till he gets what we call Isaiah chapter 61. He unrolls it and he reads. We'll look at what he read in a moment. After he read. He rolled the scroll up, handed it back to the attendant, who now goes back and puts it back in the recess in the wall. And he sits down. Now you could have heard a pin drop, because all eyes are now fixed on him. He says something that is astounding, that they didn't yet realize the import of what he said. He calmly says, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." They didn't quite grasp immediately what he was saying. Jesus is saying is that text is talking about me. The one who's in the synagogue that you've grown up in this hometown is the Christ, the Messiah, the promised one. He calmly proclaims that he fulfills that scripture. The people didn't yet grasp what he was saying. They marveled at the gracious words that came from his lips, and they said, "Is not this Joseph, the carpenter's son?" You see, Joseph, of course, was his stepfather, because God was his true father. Mary was his mother. The Bible gives us the names of his four brothers and says that he had sisters as well. He was growing up in this town as an ordinary man, sharing our humanity, working with his father in the carpenter shop. He says to them, "I suppose you want me to do miracles like I did in Capernaum. A prophet's never welcome in his own hometown." But he's in a moment going to find out what they really think of him. This is unbelievably comforting to us to know that Jesus completely shares our humanity. If you think about it, how could Jesus give us his body and blood in Holy Communion if he wasn't true man? He was true man. It's comforting to know that Jesus began life in the womb just like you did, according to his human nature, lived for 9 months in the womb, and was raised in an ordinary family. He knew what it was like to have to eat dinner, to sleep, to drink water. He knew what it was like to do chores in the family. He knew what family squabbles were like. He knew what it was like to live in a community. In all ways, he was like us, yet without sin. So never, ever say the one thing that is so completely incorrect and exactly the opposite of correct. Jesus doesn't understand what I'm going through. That's exactly wrong. Jesus understands life better than you do. He understands happy times and sad times. He understands tragedy and exaltation. He understands what it is to be a human being in this broken world. So remember, whatever is upon your heart, you bring it to Jesus. He actually understands because he experienced life here upon this earth and shares our humanity. Which we just confessed in the Nicene Creed, that he became incarnate through the Virgin Mary. Rejoice in the humanity of Jesus. Bring all of your needs to him. He does understand. Secondly, we have the amazing teaching of Jesus, who is true God. Now when Jesus reads the words of the prophet Isaiah, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." Now many people don't quite catch that. That is a reference to all three persons of the Trinity. The Spirit, that is God the Holy Spirit, of the Lord, that is God the Father, is upon me, Jesus is saying, God the Son. Just like at his baptism, the Father's voice said, "This is my beloved Son." The Spirit came down like a dove. He says, "The Father has anointed me," and at Jesus' baptism, he was anointed with the Holy Spirit to proclaim good news to the poor. He addresses spiritual poverty. We may be poor, we may be rich, we may be someone in between. He's talking about proclaiming good news to the poor in spirit, that Jesus is the riches of God's treasure, to proclaim liberty to the captives. We have been captivated by many things of this world, and they ensnare us. Only Jesus grants us liberty from those things that ensnare us. He says he gives recovery of sight to the blind. Remember when a blind man came, and Jesus spit on the ground and made with the spittle some mud, put it on his eyes, told him to go wash in the pool, and when he washed, he could see. Jesus gave him physical sight. All the blind will see in heaven. Everything will be made new. But he also gave that man and gives you and me spiritual sight to see that the light of Jesus is the light of the world, to set at liberty those who are oppressed. Things have been oppressing you this week. The word oppresso, oppress, means things are weighing on you. I know that every single one of you came here this morning with something weighing on you, on your mind, on your heart, on your spirit. It's like a weight that presses you down. He gives liberty to those who are oppressed. Because he is true God, you don't need to carry all the burdens of the world on your own shoulders. You take it off your shoulders, let Jesus give you the liberty, and place that upon him. You are not strong enough to bear all of that. Whatever is pressing upon you, because Jesus is also true God, which we also confessed in the Nicene Creed, he is very God, a very God, let him give you liberty. Take that burden off your shoulders and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Now, the year of the Lord's favor came in the person of Jesus. We're in the Epiphany season, the year of the Lord's favor, the light for all the nations. Remember, it began with the star and the Magi. They worshipped him as the light of all the nations as they brought the gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. Remember then when he was baptized and the Father's voice says, "This is my beloved Son, listen to him." Remember last week he changed water into wine to show his glory. And at the end of February, we will celebrate his transfiguration on the high mountain, shining in glory before Moses and Elijah, Peter, James, and John. The year of the Lord's favor is found in Jesus, in whom we are declared righteous and holy. The sacrifice, substitute, the Savior, there's so many ways to say it, the atoning sacrifice for our sin, that by the blood of Jesus Christ, he took our sin into his own body and now places in holy baptism his righteousness upon us, being justified by grace through faith and being declared holy before God the Father. The Lord's favor comes upon you when you come here to church through the means of grace. Every one of us was baptized as a font like that in water and word. You heard the word of God read. You heard absolution and you're about to receive Christ's body and blood at the altar. These are the means by which the true God, Jesus, who was the Son of God in eternity, was incarnate in the Virgin Mary in time. This true God, the deity of Christ, very God, the very God, means he is able to help you. He is able to assure you that you do have everlasting life. We rejoice in the humanity of Jesus. We rejoice in the deity of Jesus. We also rejoice in the message of authority. Jesus speaks truth in the midst of lies. Jesus now speaks the truth. They do not want to hear it. As he goes on talking in the synagogue, he says, remember in the Old Testament, Elijah was sent not to all the widows in Israel, but to a widow, a Gentile, in Zarephath, in Sidon. And there was a famine, 3 years, 6 months. Then he says, remember Elijah? Elisha didn't go to the lepers in Israel. He went to Naaman, the Syrian, who was cleansed. In other words, God was assisting these Gentiles, not the Jews, in those contexts. This caused great opposition in the synagogue. They were offended. He's saying the Gentiles are better than us. Then they were filled with wrath, and they drive him out of the town to the brow of the hill where there's a cliff, and I've seen that cliff. If you're thrown from that cliff, you are not going to survive. But Jesus miraculously simply passed through their midst. They looked and he was gone. He went away because his time had not yet come. When they heard the truth that the Lord has always intended to bring Gentiles the grace of God too, they were offended and they were angry. They could not handle the truth. In the Old Testament lesson today, that Ezra is reading the word of the Lord that the people had not heard, and they wept. All the people would weep over the word of God and take their lives seriously. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. But Ezra told them not to weep, because this was a day of joy, to rejoice in the word of the Lord that was coming to them, spoken by the mouth of Ezra. We rejoice that at every point of this service, you hear truth in the midst of lies. Remember, the devil is the father of lies, and the devil is a murderer. He hates us. He wants to destroy us. But you come here to hear truth. Truth comes in both law and gospel, and both cut deeply. When you hear the Old Testament, the epistle, and the gospel, and chant the psalm and the liturgy, some of it is law, some of it is gospel. The old Adam never wants to hear the law. No one wants to be told that they've sinned and they've done wrong, but that's exactly what the purpose of the law is to cut through our hearts so that we see we have sinned against God and one another and we must repent. The modern unbelieving world is rebellious just like the people in that synagogue. They do not want to hear the truth today. But God's word of truth must be proclaimed. It's really easy to figure out what truth is. It's exactly the opposite of what the world wants. In Genesis, the devil said, "Did God really say, you won't die? Don't you want to be like God?" Everything the world tells you, the unbelieving world, 9 times out of 10 is exactly the opposite of the truth. Now, I could have a whole sermon dedicated to truth against the lies of this world or a Bible study. Here briefly are 5 of them, the truth that we must proclaim to the world. We did not evolve over billions of years from nature and from lower life forms. No. Rather, God created us male and female in His image. That is the truth. Secondly, marriage cannot be changed to anything we want. Male marrying a male, or a female or female. Transgender, gay, lesbian worldviews are contrary to the Word of God. Rather, God made us male and female, from whom come children. Marriage is a man and a woman that God has created marriage. That is the truth. Third, man is not basically good and can reform himself. Rather, mankind is born with original sin. We want our own way. We are rebels until Christ redeems us from ourselves and saves us. That's the truth. Fourthly, we are not just advanced animals that can decide what we want to do about human life, so that abortion, infanticide, suicide, genocide, euthanasia are just choices that we can make. Rather, life is precious, created by God from the moment of conception until our old age. We must defend all human life as precious in God's sight. We must oppose these, and we must hold forth the truth of God's word. That is the truth. And the fifth one, all religions are not the same. All religions don't lead us back somehow to God. Rather, Jesus alone is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Jesus. Jesus is God's only Son. To know God the Father is only through His Son, Jesus Christ. And that is the truth. The truth of God's word cuts through the lies of this world. So in conclusion, thankfully Jesus has come to teach people just like you and me. He sat in the synagogue, you're sitting in the pews here in the sanctuary. You and I, like Paul said, are all part of the body of Christ. Each one of us have a different role. We thank all of you who serve in this congregation and also in your family and vocation and calling. We're all part of the body of Christ. We all have different roles. But in Christ Jesus, who shares our humanity and is also true God in human flesh, we rejoice that we have been justified before the throne of God, and we will hold forth and boldly speak out in defense of all given life, God-given life, and oppose these evils of abortion and infanticide and suicide and genocide and euthanasia, and hold forth the good news of life. The joy of the Lord is our strength. We have the very words of God in the Bible. We are part of the church. We read the word. We proclaim the word. We believe the word in our chancels and in our sanctuaries. Praise be to Jesus. The scriptures are still proclaimed in congregations like ours, that you know the good news of your salvation. Rejoice during the season of Epiphany, that because Jesus proclaims good news and fulfills all scripture, we will rejoice in truth and life until the Lord calls us home. God grant this for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen. May the peace that surpasses our human understanding guard our hearts and minds and faith in Christ Jesus until life everlasting. Amen. In your bulletin at this time, please take out the Life Sunday Litany. It's a special insert once a year. We will speak together the Life Sunday Litany and lead into the prayers of the church. We stand to pray. Let us pray. For your rich grace, whatever our ages and appearances, for your great mercy, notwithstanding our skills or circumstances, for the forgiveness of our sins, for our salvation from death, for the resurrection of our flesh, for everlasting life in your presence, and for our inheritance of the new creation.
All thanks and praise to you, O Lord.
By your love as the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, by your incarnation as an embryo in the womb, and your birth in a manger from the Virgin Mary, by your growth and obedience as a son among us, by your tears for our wounds and your touch upon our weaknesses, your bearing our sicknesses and carrying our sorrows, by your own incapacitation upon the cross and your death in sweat and blood, by your rising to life again, leaving even our grave empty and abiding ever beside us, by your ascension to exalt our nature, order our days, and prepare a place for us, and by your coming again in glory for our immortality,
help us, good Lord.
We poor sinners implore you to bring an end to abortion and euthanasia, to turn the hearts of those who permit, promote, or participate in violence against life, to strengthen all medical professionals always to care and preserve life, to move all public officials and elected authorities in support of policies, laws, and verdicts that protect the least of these, to defend our land from division, from aggression, and from the deception of death, used as a solution, and to forgive our enemies, persecutors, and slanderers.
We implore you to hear us, good Lord.
To preserve from despair everyone facing unexpected pregnancy, disability, or terminal diagnosis. To grant safe homes and healthy homes to those awaiting adoption. To absolve the guilt and the ease and the grief of those broken by sin. To work comfort and peace within those surviving the suicide of loved ones. To uphold and heal those suffering discomfort and disease, and to give all who are approaching death a blessed end.
We implore you to hear us, dear Lord.
To gladden us in celebrating the gifts of marriage, family, and length of days, to give us courage in speaking your truth, and compassionate in showing your love, to make us ambassadors of gospel joy in every difficulty and agents of gospel hope in all affliction, to impart gentleness and respect to our words, bestow sensitivity and winsomeness on our ways. Bid us rejoice when any heart changes and delight with every saved life.
Glory to hear us, good Lord.
O Lord, your people in the days of Ezra return to your word with attentive ears. Give eagerness that we may hear your word in this congregation all of our days. Bless Trinity Lutheran in 2022, and bless Pastor Paul Nelson and his wife Geneva as they serve in Indonesia. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, bless all families and homes, that one generation may tell to the next the wonderful works of God in Christ. Grant, O Lord, this week that you be with Susan Hartman, Grayson Keister, John Baxter, Ellie Brown, Elena Weber, Jenna Harper, and Joel Bacon, Jill Tarver, Annabelle Brandsburg, Alice Lemke, Nell Stair, Wesley Bachman, Avery Keister, and Joe Green. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
O God, give wisdom and courage to all who govern our communities and country, that they may lead well, fulfilling your will rather than man's whims. Grant willingness to serve and support Mike Gobble, Charles Gaither, Emily Shelton, and Alex Laffin, Courtney Tate, Danny Green, and Ricardo Patanga as they serve in the military. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Gracious and compassionate Lord, comfort those who mourn the death of Catherine Harmon now that you've received her to yourself in heaven. And as great physician of soul and body, mend the bodies and uplift the spirits of all who are in need. Judy Smith, Jessica Brower, Raymond Sendelbach, and Patty Rever, Jean Vorster, Dwayne Versosky, and LaDonna Moss, Chris Henderson, Neil Tapto, Jill Tarver, Candy Darmody, all in need of healing and strength. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
All this we ask in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
We ask at this time that you fill out the ritual of friendship forms found at the end of the pew, passing them to the person next to you. You may place them in the baskets in the narthex as you exit. You may be seated for the offering.
Page 208, Service of Sacrament, we stand. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty, Everlasting God, for the countless blessings you so freely bestow on us and all creation. Above all, we give thanks for your boundless love shown to us when you sent your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, into our flesh and laid on him our sin, giving him into death that we might not die eternally. Because he has now risen from the dead and lives and reigns to all eternity, all who believe in him will overcome sin and death and will rise again to new life. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Holy, holy, holy.
Whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. In your righteous judgment, you condemned the sin of Adam and Eve, who ate the forbidden fruit, and you justly barred them and all their children from the tree of life. Yet in your great mercy, you promised salvation by a second Adam, your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, and made his cross a life-giving tree for all who trust in him. We give you thanks for the redemption you prepared for us through Jesus Christ. Grant us your Holy Spirit that we may faithfully eat and drink of the fruits of his cross and receive the blessings of forgiveness, life, and salvation that come to us in his body and blood. Hear us as we pray in his name and as he has taught us.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same way, also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always. Amen.
O Jesus Christ, true Lamb.
Until life. Hymns, page 211. We stand to sing. Favor and give you peace.
Amen.